It's the same energy they have for me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And I'm going to have the same energy for them.
I ain't having it. I will just say this one last thing on Kyrie Irving.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He did shut them up.
Irving's got a three on the way. Down for Kyrie Irving.
You shut them up with your play.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Rams linebacker Bobby Wagner. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. Still to come, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. 9 days before the NFL draft, we just hung up with Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. They choose 12th overall. The man who chooses 8th overall in the draft, along with the rest of his franchise, when they chose 5th overall last year, or 4th overall last year, pardon me. That was the linchpin of the first round with three consecutive quarterbacks. Everyone was wondering if the Falcons are going to take a fourth or what were they going to do. They took Kyle Pitts, who is now going to be there for at the for the immediate future, Marcus Mariota at that position. Lots is going on with the Atlanta Falcons. We are thrilled to have back here on the Rich Eisen Show. And by the way, we'll take your phone calls over the next hour as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Pleased to have back here on the program one of our favorites, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Arthur Smith. How you doing, Coach?
Great, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing better for talking to you. What is your world like on a day like this? So you got guys back in the building, your draft meetings. Walk me through what this day looks like for you.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. So today was our first day of the off-season program. So the majority of our guys are in here today, so it's good to have players back in the building, and then we're kind of finalizing the draft board now in anticipation for next week.
And so Marcus Mariota now back in an offense that you are honchoing. What does that mean, do you think? How do you think he is going to fare in a spot that he has, I'm sure, been eager to get into, starting quarterback in the NFL, Coach?
Yeah, it's exciting to work with Marcus again. He and I are both in different spots and from where we were in 2019, and he's excited to have the opportunity to compete, and that's all he wanted, and that's what we were able to provide. And so we'll obviously look to add to, you know, every position of this roster, but Marcus has the right mindset. You know, he's a high-end talent, and he wanted to, and it just worked out perfectly, the timing of it, for him to come in here and compete.
And so the competition would be what? What's the competition that you're looking
at? Well, depends what happens next week. And certainly there's all kind of different avenues we have to acquire talent. And that's what certainly my familiarity with Marcus and the opportunity, I mean, it's wide open, and he knows that. So regardless of what happens next week or really in the next couple of months, he'll come in here and compete and give us a chance to win football games.
So I know you have always focused on revealing your draft strategy on the Rich Eisen Show Live. So this is your moment,
Coach.
Yeah, go ahead
and give you the 8th pick.
This is it. Yeah, this is your moment. This is I'm essentially, you know, giving you your moment that you've been eager to see. So there is a situation in which a quarterback's available 8th. Overall, and you guys go and snag him because you like him that much. Is that that's a possibility? Is what you're saying right now?
There's a lot of possibilities. I mean, depending on how, you know, the first 7 picks goes, you know, go make a trade. I mean, there's all kind of possibilities. I think this is probably one of the more. I know because we're living in it right now, but it's probably one of the more uncertain drafts. You know, within 10 days that I've been around in a while.
And so are you gaming it out? Like is it really like a mock draft? Do you have one of those, Coach Smith?
Well, I mean, everybody has different philosophies. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways it can go. So you essentially got to be okay with 8 guys, you know, as you're sitting there. So, and how will we stack them? You know, that's what we'll do and continue to do leading up to next week. And obviously somebody will be a good player there. So there's all, you know, we'll take the best player available and we'll see how the board falls to us.
Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through the Matt Ryan trade with the Colts. And when did that first kind of hit your radar screen, Arthur Smith?
It did happen pretty quick. You know, there was mutual interest. Obviously, we weren't just going to – we're going to do what's best for the team and also best for Matt. And so it really was a win-win for both teams where Matt's at in his career. The conversations picked up pretty quickly that Thursday before it went down. And, you know, I love what Matt Ryan did for us last year, and he's obviously had a heck of a career in Atlanta, and I wouldn't bet against him for the rest of his career. But where we're at and, you know, the salary cap situation, it was the best move for this team moving forward. So I'm happy as hell I got to work with him for the year I did.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he means so much to so many of the fans that are rooting for your success, Coach. I mean, so would you say this was a cap move more than anything else for your team? Would you name it
I wouldn't just categorize it just a cap, but that was part of the strategy of where we're at. A lot of things have changed in the last calendar year since I've been here. And, you know, going forward, you know, you can keep playing the restructure game. And which he would be willing to do, and it just would have a lot of different accounting tricks, or, you know, we can open up some cap space for 23. So we're excited about it, and we're excited about the team that we'll put out there this fall and compete, because you got to, I mean, our objective is to win football games, and I know that a lot of different narratives out there, but this thing will look so different come September.
Arthur Smith, Atlanta Falcons head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so what would you categorize the holes that you'd like to hit and fix in days in a week and a half from now over the 3 days of the draft? What would you identify that you're free to identify?
I mean, there's really at every spot, Rich. You know, where we're at, we got a pretty young team with a few vets surrounding it, but I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, you don't want to be desperate and reach, and that could come back to hurt you in the future years or as we continue the team build. So, like I said, we'll stick to it. We'll take the best player available. We'll be smart about it. But, you know, we'll take help everywhere. Is that evasive enough for you?
You know, no, actually, I prefer more evasive.
I'll keep working at it.
No, it is part of the tightrope I have to walk, and obviously you, to have a conversation on live television and radio 9 days before an NFL draft. You know, I totally understand that. When Deshaun Watson was available, how integral were you in the conversations for all of that, Arthur Smith?
You know, with every position, there's a lot of trades that we explore, and it just happened to be one of them. And we have great communication in all of our leadership positions. But that's for any player we consider bringing in here, whether it's free agency or trade or, you know, or drafting. So we have a lot of conversations. We have a very collaborative group. So that's any transaction we have. That's how we collaborate.
Well, in the few minutes I have left with you here, Coach, I want to talk to you about the new overtime rule. And your thoughts on it. Do you like it? Do you like the new rule that both teams definitely have to touch it? You do?
Yeah, I was in favor of it.
Okay. What about the strategy now? Because to me, it looks like, just from my perspective, I would prefer, you know, like it seems like the issue is when you get it first, you know that if you score a touchdown, you will get the first possession of a sudden death overtime, like old school. But right. You also, if you take it second, would have the benefit of knowing what you have to match, and thus the freedom to go for it on all four downs. You're like you're a kid playing a video game. It doesn't matter down distance where you are, you're going for it. What's your philosophy on that subject matter?
Yeah, we'll keep looking at it, and you know, I think you'll probably see it first. Again, I don't know how many of these opportunities happen in the next couple of years. I mean, it's just, you know, the postseason overtime. So I think you'll see a lot of people defer. You know, they'll want to know what they're up against. And I think that would be the conventional wisdom. That's what the numbers will tell everybody. Hey, if you win the coin toss, defer. So you know exactly what you're playing against, to your point. You've got all four downs. You know exactly in matching it. If you got to match a touchdown, you get in there. Do you want to go for two and end it? I think the one thing that you count if you're in a really bad weather game, there's a lot of different variables in
right.
it. You know, how both teams are playing, how tired is the defense when going into it. You take the ball and you feel you got the advantage to go right down. You got them on the ropes. That certainly could be a factor into it. So it'll be fun. I just think it'll take a couple of years before you get enough of a sample size to really see what happens.
Well, I guess it would be a good thing to be a coach who has to deal with that for the first time, because that means you're in the playoffs, and that's something that's a good thing first off. What do you think about the idea of maybe, getting the ball first and going for an onside kick? Because if you recover it, that, based on my understanding of the rule, means that all you need to do is just score a field goal, and that's the end of that. And that if you do lose possession, you don't gain it on an onside kick. At least you know you're getting your possession next, and you'll know what to match. What do you think of that idea, Arthur Smith?
Nah, I like it. Is that your original idea, or did somebody on your staff come up with that?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. It doesn't matter in my business, my name's on the door.
Auditioning and seeing if we could, give you some souped-up title here.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Director of Analytics and in-game Strategy.
You, sir, and the rest of the National Football League would do a hell of a lot worse than having me on the competition committee. I should have a spot there. Fact. Yeah. I've been around.
I'm going to talk to Rich McKay about it as soon as we get off the phone.
Exactly. You run that straight into the man's office, and you tell him. And you know what he'll say to you? He'll say to you, he'll take it under advisement, because that's what he says about everything. But other than that, he knows. I'm telling you, these are all good ideas. This is, to me, I'd like to see if an NFL head coach would do something like that, because the odds would be, if you recover it, all you need is a field goal, right? And that would be the end of it. So do you think that sounds like a good idea to you?
Yeah, I wouldn't count it out. Is that a good enough answer for you? I like the unconventional wisdom.
No, so, I like gaming this stuff out with an actual NFL head coach, and certainly one with an offensive mindset, because I think this is fascinating. My phone lines were lighting up about the conversation. Everybody had an idea to try and fix it. I'm just wondering if this has really fixed it. But you like the idea, is what you're saying. You like the new overtime.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing your idea. I'm just trying to figure out your other angle.
See, I have no angle.
If your agent's going to call me and ask, if you got a spot on the staff here.
Nope. I think you're fine with your staff. I'm sure you're fine with your staff. I am angling for a spot on the competition committee, though. So you can tell that to Rich McKay for sure.
I'm certainly going to let him know.
Cool. And also, what would you be in favor? While I'm on a roll here, would you be in favor of getting rid of the rule where if you fumble through the end zone, the ball goes to the defense automatically? Would you be in favor of getting rid of that, Coach Arthur Smith?
That one's, I know people have brought it up in the past.
Yeah.
I could definitely see the argument for that. I think I'd probably be in favor for it. I'll answer that one.
There you go. Yes. Correct.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Because if you're Arthur Smith, if your offense is on a roll, right, and somebody just like reaches for the pylon and it gets knocked out, and because it goes out at the 1-inch line, you get the ball back. If it goes 3 more inches north, you lose the ball. I think that's totally arbitrary, capricious, and we should get rid of it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm going to back you on that one.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hold on. Let me just devil's advocate, Arthur. What about don't fumble?
Terrible.
Well, I mean, you certainly, it's something in all seriousness, you coach and understand that
right.
Don't reach out across with one hand unless
right.
It's, fourth down and got to go win it because that's happened. And you certainly coach to put two hands on it. It's easier said than done, trying to get these guys to not reach out to score. It's something we work on a lot. But there's a lot of subjectivity. You're rewarding somebody, like to Rich's point, you're talking about a game 3 inches and you're rewarding him right away to the defense as a turnover that rolls out right there. So
yes,
I'm going to side with Rich on this one.
There you go.
Maybe it's my bias from being an offensive coach, But that's kind of where I'm leaning towards.
Thank
now
you.
That Rich is part of the competition committee.
My bona fides are solid, sir. My resume is solid. Thanks for the time, Coach. Greatly appreciate it. We're lockstep on that, and I look forward to our next chat. Have a great draft. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Right back at you. That's Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, smart enough to agree with the host and see a great idea when he knows it.
And he sees it.
Hey, man, you could tell these guys don't reach for the pylon all you want, but this rule, fumbling into the end zone and the defense gets awarded the football, what it does, you know what it does?
Oh, jeez.
Rewards you for
it. Penalizes
effort.
Oh, stop.
I agree with you.
It subtracts from your desire to be aggressive.
All effort is not smart effort. Rich, there is dumb effort.
Rich,
dumb
effort. You can't tell someone to go 110% the whole game and then like bring it back in right when the goal line's right there.
You can't do it. You can't do it because you know what? It could roll an extra 2 inches the other way and count against you, or it could roll 2 inches sideways and you're still fine.
Yeah.
Then why does it never happen to the Patriots? Oh, right, because they coach them not to do it.
That whole don't fumble the ball thing that you say, that's ridiculous. Like,
what do you mean? Don't fumble.
Well, like in our case, we're professionals here. That would be like me saying to you, well, hey, Chris, don't mispronounce a word or don't stammer when you're speaking. I mean, it happens.
But there's no penalties when we do that.
Well, there is. There is.
There is when I do it.
There is, because Del Tufo will make a drop out of it and you got to hear about it forever.
Don't care.
I'm just saying.
Come on.
It's easy to say don't fumble the ball.
Every single rule in the NFL and all new rule changes and all that stuff, it all favors the offense. What is for the defense?
That's not true.
I would like you to name something that has benefited the defense.
Running backs lowering the helmet.
Yeah, when was the last time that got called?
It's been called.
When? When was the last time?
It was a flag. It was a flag. They created it.
But it doesn't get called.
Taunting.
But by that went out the door in the playoffs.
Definitely did, and was very inconsistent. But there's a handful of penalties that have been created.
The whole
to help
game
the
now in the last
a
decade,
handful.
It's all been geared toward the offense. Let the defense just have this one.
The Hines Ward, you can't crack back to block somebody.
Yeah,
man, I disagree with that too,
but. Sir. You cannot argue with somebody who is competition committee worthy like me. I mean, these are facts. You know what? I need Rich McKay on the phone now.
They'll all laugh.
Can we FaceTime Rich McKay right now?
The NFL Network guy's being funny. He's being funny. The same guy who had the campaign to run for commissioner back in 2006 when Paul Tagliabue was retiring, and I had my buttons. There's a Rich Eisen for commissioner button right over there on our wall. Yeah, right on the bobblehead doll.
I never saw that.
Go walk up and grab it.
The bobblehead, yeah.
Go ahead. Go grab it.
I don't want to.
You should go grab it. Go ahead and grab it.
Grab it.
He doesn't want to get my campaign button. It's fine.
Just remember who didn't have your back, Rich.
Then you're not coming with me.
Nope. He's no longer
because
your plus
I
one.
Because I think you trying to change this is insane.
It's not insane.
Well, when you get your plus one, remember who was behind you and who wasn't.
That's fine.
It penalizes.
You can have those perks.
Heart. It tells somebody with heart and want to and desire, don't.
Like, you're going to tell Dez Bryant after making that catch,
when
you shouldn't stretch the ball out after you've outgrown another grown man.
He fumbled.
He didn't fumble, man.
Come on.
I'm going to come over there.
Dez Bryant did not fumble.
He didn't fumble.
Dumb effort.
He did not. Okay? He did not.
How was that dumb effort?
It's not dumb effort.
That's ridiculous to say that.
Because it penalizes your team, and you should know better.
Yes, guess
Chris,
what happened?
You're in the moment, bro. You used to play football, didn't you?
Now, hold on a second. He just proved my point. He literally just proved my point.
Well, let him know.
I did not.
It was a correct interpretation of the rule.
And so was the Tuck rule.
And so was the Tuck rule. Neither of those rules exist anymore because they were dumb to begin with.
Dumb.
They were unnecessary to begin
totally
with.
Totally unnecessary.
And they are gone for a reason.
See ya.
No, because
so
people,
should this.
People wilted under public pressure.
No, they didn't wilt under anything.
It's the same reason the overtime got changed.
Chris.
Overtime did not need change. Why did it change? Oh, because you know what? It would have been cool to have Josh Allen get the ball back.
Listen to me. We don't argue anymore about what a catch is and what's not a catch anymore. Thank God. That sucked. All of those times where you're wondering, is it a catch? Is it not a catch? And the 100 people in a bar knew what a catch was. And then the NFL could not come up with a rule to figure it out. And then they did. And we don't have a conversation about it anymore. The moment we knew that it was fixed, at least I did, and I brought it to everyone's attention here on the show, was the first time 2 years ago that Nickelodeon had a game, a playoff game, and you were able to explain to 5 and 6 and 7 year olds what a catch is and what's not a catch. It's fixed. Thank goodness. And part of the reason why it's fixed is because I bitched about it enough from this chair.
You're taking.
I am absolutely. And the tuck rule too. Ask Pereira. You ask Pereira.
I can. I will actually ask Mike, and he'll probably
ask him.
Agree.
Ask him.
It's true.
Ask him, Mike. Did Rich Eisen have something to
you
do
totally
with the change
did.
Of the tuck rule?
100%.
Thank
did.
You.
He used to every time.
You know what? The answer isn't thank you. It's you're welcome.
RES Consulting.
Let's take a break. Come back. A news update here on. On the Emmy-nominated show hosted by somebody that should bring that award nominating and potentially winning style to the competition committee.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for the full archive of this history of the program. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. The ST stands for speed tuned. All of these Rogue ST drivers have been speed tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge. Gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. There is a Callaway engineered for every single player in the Rogue ST model. Most golfers fit into the Max, great combination of distance and forgiveness. There's a dedicated draw model called the Max D. There's the Max LS that gives you something more low spin, stronger trajectory, a more neutral ball flight. And then the tour players that love the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, that's something that maybe you can use for that compact low spin head that you're looking for right off the tee. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. We're going to get a news update from Chris Brockman in a second, but let's take some phone calls. Our friend Jeff in Detroit has chimed in. What's up, Jeffrey? How you been?
What's going on, Unc? What's happening? What's buzzing with my cousins? What's everything up, going good, brother?
What up, though? Good, man. What's up?
Crazy. Hey, listen. Jordan Poole, first of all, Kirk Cousins is like, I'm going to tell you, it's just like the auto chip shortage. Everything is up because you can't find what you want brand new. Kirk Cousins is like buying a Camry 2018 for $67,000, man. I kid you not. And I'm trying to figure out, this guy just keeps hitting payday after payday. Now, with Jordan Poole doing what he does and being the man that he is, my question to you is, if you're Steve Kerr, would you keep bringing him in the start and putting him in the starting lineup and keep stuff coming off the bench? Because having that three-guard rotation, man, that's a killing. I mean, I really don't see when those guys get hot, other than size, I see nothing else stopping them. I really don't.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this question, guys. If there's any superstar, all-time great, first ballot Hall of Famer, potential Mount Rushmore guy who would say, it's all working for me coming off the bench, keep me there, who would that one guy potentially be?
Steph Wardell.
Okay. So, I don't know. I mean, it's working. I don't think when it all comes down to it, then you're taking on the Suns, like you're going to say, Curry, you come off the bench. I think eventually Jordan Poole will be the one to come off the bench, and then they'll all play, all five of them will play when it's crunch time, and we'll see how that happens. We'll see how that works. But this is, as Draymond Green said last night, and thanks for the call, Jeffrey, Draymond Green said this is an excellent problem to have. Great problem to have.
Not who starts, it's who finishes the game, really, right?
Well, I mean, that's, yes, technically, but I don't... You know, guys want to start. They don't want to come off the bench. True. Did Mike Malone call Steph Curry the greatest sixth man ever? I think that's what he said last night.
Multiple times.
He had some great quotes last night. I had him open before. Let me see if I can call him up again.
Also, the problem, too, is you can't keep digging or coming out of 10-point holes.
Yeah.
You know, last night that was...
They did. I know.
You know?
They went from, what, 14 down to, like, 20-something up.
And... Yeah.
But, Chris, like you and I discussed before the show, like, if you're... the Golden State Warriors and you're down 15, you're not really sweating too much because that's five shots, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Last night it was a 12-point deficit. Then all of a sudden you blinked and they were up 8, and it happened so fast in the second quarter.
They go on runs. It's just boom, 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 boom. And you're sitting there scratching your head. Like, how did they just do that?
Yeah. Malone said Curry is the greatest sixth man ever in the playoffs. he went on and said the most dangerous guy on the floor is the guy who just passed the ball. And Steph Curry is the embodiment of that. He's been doing it for years. He gives the ball up. You relax. He's flying off another screen and then he makes you pay.
Yeah.
The problem is you have three players that are capable of putting up 30, 40 points. Again, Malone is kind of the first coach to have to deal with this in these playoffs. You have three players who can get it on their own, and they do such a great job of passing, moving, and making plays for each other. Yeah. And then, as he said, that's two games in a row. When you're in a game, then snap of a finger, you're out of the game, says Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets.
And the Warriors had a really rough last month, 6 weeks of the season. Yep. They did not look right. They did not look how they looked at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Steph was injured, and then all of a sudden, the last two games, whoa.
I know.
This team can win the title.
Surprising to everybody except those who predicted they would win it.
How about that pass?
Never gave up on him.
How about that pass Poole had to, I think, Bielitsa?
Behind the back?
Where he cut, like, it was in front of him, though.
He was, like, under the basket. There was one where he was under the basket. He got cut off and stopped, and then all of a sudden he just, like, whoop, around the back for a layup.
That one, but then he did one where he threw it in front of him, and it was, this kid was in his bag last night.
They're really fun.
Draymond Green said, ultimately, really they need fun. Curry back out there, but, quote, Jordan's probably going to have to start, too. Great problem to have, end quote.
Right?
Jeez, that sums it about up. Jimmy in San Antonio, let's take your call. What's up, Jimmy?
Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, pasó, amigos?
What's going on?
Hola, muchacho.
Well, I can't lie. I told Adam I was going to talk about bedroom to bathroom ratio, but then after that, I have to stick up for TJ. So first,
thanks, bro.
Bedroom to bathroom ratio depends on what the purpose of the house is. Okay, so like lake house, I have it's over 3,000 square feet, three bedrooms, two and a half bath.
Okay,
look at Jimmy.
So you do the half bath for the guest. If you've got 12 bathrooms, then you're entertaining.
True that.
Yeah, but then there's four bedrooms, though.
Yeah, that was
if you want to entertain, don't you want to have people, like, you know, and then stay?
Yeah, if they get drunk, you don't want them driving.
Well, no, not just that.
I only want four people staying in the bedrooms. That's why we have 12 baths. We kick everyone else out. We don't want them staying.
Yeah, but you've got kids. He and Ciara have kids, right? And so, you know, they're going to have the bedrooms. That's what I'm saying. Is there a guest house?
It's a guest apartment.
A guest apartment.
It's the purpose of the house. Now I have to stick up for TJ.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
Jim.
Rich.
Yeah.
This is going to be on you.
Okay.
Earlier, TJ was told you're better than that when asking about Jordans and a Cowboys hookup, correct?
Well, not Jordans. I didn't say he was better than that when asking for Jordans.
We're not better than that.
He wants a follow from the Dallas Cowboys Twitter account, which is like, come on, man. Come on.
And you want the competition committee, sir.
Yes, I do.
It's like hold my elevator door instead of hold my beer.
No, no.
Thank you, sir.
No. I need to push back here, Jimmy.
Nah, don't push.
I'm going to push back here. These are two totally different things. One, the Dallas Cowboys account. We have no idea who's actually in charge of it. It's probably somebody.
Jerry Jones. He's in charge of everything.
Definitely not. Jerry Jones is not deciding who the Dallas Cowboys follow or not.
I don't know.
The competition committee are people who are leaders and at the forefront of the NFL community. They are the ones who are, charged with making sure the game is as competitive as possible. And I know I already have their respect. I just need their companionship. That's what I'm looking for.
I think you're going to get it because you keep pushing it with legit reasons.
Thank you so much.
Good data.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
I appreciate you sticking up.
Okay.
TJ, if you know anybody who could sell us tickets for the Cowboys Rams, I'll buy them, and you and me, homie, we'll go to the game.
Wow.
I happen to know two season ticket holders 10, 20 feet away.
Unfortunately, though, if North Carolina is playing a game, Jimmy's going to have to cancel on you.
Yeah, like Eric Church.
There you go, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Church, the biggest fan in San Antonio. That's Jimmy right there.
Man, I want to invite
Jimmy's the one who called up after Eric Church bailed on the concert in San Antonio and just went all in on him, right?
Was that Jimmy?
It's the same guy. Jimmy was upset. Jimmy was upset.
Sounds like Jimmy's got a nice lake house.
Right?
Damn.
Jimmy called just a stunt on us a little bit.
I have a 3,000 square foot lake house.
But if you're staying over, with Jimmy, though, you only get half the bath.
Half the bath.
What does that mean? You don't shower?
You got to jump in the lake.
Yeah, you just pee in there.
Unless you pee, half the bath is the shower.
Well, it's just a stand-up shower.
Yeah. And it's outside. For guests.
I mean, if you look at the lake.
A pool and a pond.
The lake's for you, right?
Yeah, we have a pond.
The lake's for you.
All
right. let's get to a news update. Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it, please. Hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, what do you got over there?
Hey, guys, we got a lot of stuff going on in the National Football League and across the NBA as well, NBA news. But first up, we had Bobby Wagner in studio earlier today. That was awesome. One of the most shocking things from the NFL offseason, Russell Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos, and then later that night, Bobby Wagner released by the Seattle Seahawks. He told us exactly how that all went down earlier.
I understood that there was going to be some changes, and I knew that things were going to look a lot different. And I knew me and Russ were the last ones that kind of been able to last from that Super Bowl team. And, I thought there was going to be like a conversation just to let me know, but it didn't happen that way. And so when I saw Russ kind of leave, I knew that there was a chance that my time there was coming to an end as well. You know, I think they think I have this, like, hatred in my heart, or, like, I feel some type of way about them or hate them or anything like that. It's not that. I just felt like they didn't handle it. I addressed that with them. I told them how I felt about it. And, I think both parties moved on. I don't have no ill feelings towards Pete, towards John, towards Jody. I have no ill feelings towards them. So it's one of those things where, you know, me understanding the business, I understood it, but I felt like with certain guys, you should have had a conversation. Like, I had to approach them to confirm.
And then that's when they say, hey, why don't you come in? And at that point in time, you're saying that.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a meeting, but I knew the answer. I knew what they were going to say already. So I was like, I wasn't in town. So I was like, why would I get on the plane for you to tell me what I already know?
Oof. That was something. Any of that surprise you?
Full conversation, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. No, none of it. The one thing that he did tell me was that kind of got me, and I followed up by saying, when did he actually tell you? Is that Russell Wilson, he said, went up to him and said to him, asked him about playing for Denver before it happened. So clearly, you know, where Pete's saying we have no intention of trading him, he was doing his best to either keep him there, or the writing was on the wall, or he was just trying to cover tracks to make sure that this thing actually happened and didn't explode. Because if it exploded and you got Russell back there and he's thinking, I'm going to Denver, that would be pretty damn bad. But he was definitely out. I mean, that thing was toast. It was over.
Yeah.
And it was, and we're sitting here thinking Rodgers might go to Denver and all of that business. Right. And I guess that was not happening from jump. No, if Russ is asking,
yeah, it seemed like it was always Seattle and Denver making a move.
But the whole idea was that, you know, it was definitely Rodgers was going there, that they hired the coach specifically to lure Aaron Rodgers. And weeks before this happened, it sounded like weeks before, I asked in February, and that's when, you know, I think Bobby wanted to stay out of whatever timeline fray that might cause a problem with. But it looked like it was Russ all along, or that Rodgers basically told Denver, I'm either staying here or not.
Retiring.
Yeah.
All right, a few of the things across the league, guys. Players are showing up for off-season voluntary workouts. Deshaun Watson showed up in Cleveland. Obviously, Baker Mayfield not going to be there. Not surprised about that. In Arizona, Kyler Murray not attending Cardinals off-season workouts. J.J. Watt and others said they don't have any problem with that, not a big deal. Adam Schefter saying A.J. Brown not going to participate in the Titans offseason program, as we discussed earlier, pushing for a long-term contract, making some social media moves that, you know, we're kind of winking at. But
we're either going to find out where this wide receiver market lies or not. And it's interesting. You've got one owner in Arizona who is clearly the first to deal with a quarterback who wants to get paid earlier than what most quarterbacks get paid after year three, prior to year four, fresh off of the first ever fully guaranteed $230 million contract being given to somebody with tons of off-the-field issues hanging over his head. And that owner is going to have to either pay it all to Kyler Murray or not, and that's going to be an issue. Either way, potentially. And one issue either way is one's for the league and one's obviously for the team if they don't. And then you've got the wide receiver market. You've got an owner in San Francisco and you've got an owner in Tennessee and then the owner in Seattle, where you're going to have to pay somebody fresh off of their first contract the amount of money that Davante Adams is being paid after damn near almost 10 years in the league. And Stephon Diggs in his first big contract extension fresh off of Buffalo acquiring him, and Tyreek Hill getting traded and getting his from a new team that's never had him, and now these guys are trying to tell the team that drafted them and they have balled out for, I want to get paid like those guys. I don't know how that's going to work out. What else, Chris?
Not sure if you saw this yesterday, Rich. Patrick Mahomes was talking, said that him and Travis Kelce, Andy Reid kept them in the loop in regards to the Tyreek Hill blockbuster trade that won earlier this year. Definitely shocked. And while it's going to be a hit to the Kansas City offense, Patrick Mahomes expects Mecole Hardman to step up and have a big opportunity. Quote, I think he could be a great player in this offense. So keep an eye for that. Just saw this, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina has a new offensive coordinator. His name's Ben McAdoo.
The old coach of the New York Giants.
We've had a lot of fun at his expense over the years. I think he had a slip of the tongue today, talking with reporters, said, quote, Sam Darnold is our starting quarterback, yes. And then a minute later goes, quote, that was something I shouldn't have said.
So the question is
they've been rumored in the Baker Mayfield.
No, the question is Sam Darnold the quarterback of the Panthers if they played a game today? Or is Sam Darnold the quarterback of the Panthers once the season starts in September?
So the old right now?
Like, what does that mean? Does that mean they're out of the running for the sixth overall selection being a quarterback? Does that mean that's the end of that? Because I'll tell you what, the way that the draft board is working, they have an opportunity to get either Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal. They can get the big-time pass protector for the quarterback that they've been desiring and we all thought with them not having any picks until the fourth round that they're going to go get? Did he just reveal a draft strategy?
I'm not sure.
Or did he just reveal that they're not going to get Baker Mayfield?
Right.
Or did he basically state the obvious, which is Sam Darnold is our quarterback, starting quarterback.
He's like, our quarterback.
Right. Yeah. You look at their roster right now, Sam Darnold is starting the football game for the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
I don't know what that means. But all I know is that Ben McAdoo is back, baby.
And he's got a new hairstyle.
He's got a new
hairstyle.
I don't know. Remember he walked. Remember he was introduced as the coach of the Giants wearing that huge talking heads, David Byrne type suit.
Yeah.
Like wearing that big suit. Then he slicked his hair back.
The slick back was a great look.
He had that, and then he held up the, you know, he had the menu.
You have a menu over there somewhere.
I
just need to have a better
organization.
Yeah. It's kind of a mess back here.
There's a lot of stuff.
Too soon?
I could still host the show.
That's true.
Right.
I can't find drops, though.
Yes.
Lastly, guys, we all saw what Kyrie Irving did over the weekend. Talked a lot about it on the show yesterday. The NBA has weighed in. Fined $50,000 for Kyrie Irving.
Oh, great meme right there, putting the Rich Eisen Show logo over his middle finger. That's good. Because we are number one. We think we are. $25,000 a finger.
This is the most
fine. Wait a minute. It was three fingers, right? It was
well,
two
he did
at once.
It
was a double bird
times,
and a single bird.
Yeah. This is the most allowed without a grievance allowed to be fined. Yeah, so this is
the NBA is not going to.
Kind of the max.
I mean, just. And the crazy thing is, as I mentioned, the guy quieted the crowd with his play and has the ability to do that.
It was amazing.
When's game two? When's game two?
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow night.
There we go. Very good. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, baseball's amazing. You just wait and something will just turn around and present to you a different potential set of facts than what you thought.
Oh.
There's two baseball stories I want to hit when we come back. And one of them involves Clayton Kershaw and being pulled from a perfect game. And what happened next?
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Don't miss Killing It, the new Peacock original starring Craig Robinson. We just saw Angela Kinsey's on Susie's Pod just getting started this week. Former office mate as well. Craig Robinson is now the star of this series from the comedy minds of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Streaming right now. Go to PeacockTV.com to sign up. Okay, so this, what was the big story of opening week in Major League Baseball? I'll answer it. We know what it was. Clayton Kershaw, right, being removed from a perfect game because he had thrown 80 pitches and it was cold and on the road and he hadn't done anything yet in terms of his, you know, preparation for the season, really hadn't thrown very much. There was no spring training thanks to the lockout, didn't pick up a ball and all that stuff. And we're like, come on, man, just give it a try. And the answer is like, yeah, you know what? He could ruin his career. Like somebody called in and said Johan Santana went for it, right? But he had 130 million pitches, not 80.
Not true.
So last night, the Braves were in town. Interestingly enough, Freddie Freeman in his first at-bat against his former team and now for his hometown team went yard. It was quite interesting. Took a big lead. And who was on the mound with that big lead? Clayton Kershaw took a lead into the sixth inning. 6-1. They let him pitch the sixth. Interestingly enough, even though he had, guess how many pitches?
80.
Yes.
Hey.
After his 80th pitch, home run, double, single, out of the game. And all I'm saying is this.
Don't use this to justify taking him out last week.
All I'm saying is this. I want a monitor on him. Is his career over? Because he went and he gave up a homer, single, and double.
No, he still got the win.
I'm just, is he going to make his next start? that he pitched seven more pitches. Is he going to make his next start?
Hold on. Let me see if he went to the
MRI. I want to see because they left him in the game. And all I'm saying is let him give up the homer, single, and double in Minnesota. Let him give up the homer and take him out. Let him give up the single and take him out. Let's see what happens. And I know already heard from my Dodger friend. I heard from you, Rob, last night texting me. He's just like, oh, you folks out there saying he shouldn't have pitched. He should have kept pitching. What'd he do after 80 pitches? Single, homer, double.
And he didn't have a perfect game going last night.
Good enough. But let's just see. Monitor his arm. See if there's any trouble. Now then, this could be perfect fodder for a new baseball podcast out there that was announced yesterday. I saw it. Couldn't believe it. Oh, no. This guy's got a podcast too. But I mean, who knows? Because he saw a lot of baseball. Saw a lot of baseball behind home plate, on first, second, and third. I'm not talking about a catcher who played all over the place. I'm talking about the famed umpire, Joe West. He's got a new podcast called 5460. Now, what is that? Those are the record number of games that he umpired, or the number of times he showed you by not making a proper call or waiting forever to raise half of his arm for a strike, number of times that he showed you with his performance, didn't care what you thought. And it's kind of interesting that somebody whose entire career, it seemed like, was showing you, didn't care what you thought about him. Didn't care what you thought about his style of umpiring, or thought you actually paid your money to watch him umpire. Now wants you to download his thoughts. Wants to communicate with you after all this time. Huh. I'm gobsmacked. So what's his first podcast going to be? Called, I don't care what you think. Or, it was a strike, but you had to wait 8 seconds for me to lift my arm and say it was a strike for all of you folks to have to see it.
All the times I was right. You were right.
Although, the one podcast I would definitely download is if he tells the story about shooting that famous scene in Airplane, having Crescioni in a rundown with the rest of the umpires. With Enrico Palazzo, because he was one of the umpires in Airplane. I would actually download that pod. There it is right there. There he is, Country Joe West, arguing with Enrico Palazzo.
Look at those hats.
Enrico Palazzo. Yeah, those hats are amazing.
That was 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I would download that pod. But for the rest of them, hard pass. Hard pass. After further review, which now they're forced to actually say.
Yeah, which is great.
There you go.
Only because he retired.
Thank you to Bobby Wagner for coming in person. That was dynamite. Yeah, if you missed it, go to our YouTube page. Same with the conversation with Kevin O'Connell and the head coach of Arthur Smith, who hung up the phone and went to Rich McKay and said, Rich wants in on the competition committee. To hear how he laughed when I said, you know what he'll say? He said, I'll take it under advisement because that's what he says about everything. Even he laughed. I got him to crack up at that. Very proud of myself. We'll see you on Wednesday's show, everybody.